listen to that intro.
Try out the Stone Temple Pilots for a change.
Right on. That's Todd, everybody. I'm Mark. And you've found the Rational Revolution. So glad you're here. And I'm so glad that this guy's freaking here. I have been trying to get him on the show since I took over from our dear beloved Chris Alfheim. This dude's one of the busiest men in politics. And I'm so honored that he's here. You all know him. A little known fact, we do share a birthday month. All good people were born in December of 1986. This is all around good guy, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, dude. Oh my God, in the flesh.
My man, dude. This schedule has been just so hectic. It's been wild. I've been traveling in and out of state. Got myself more busy than I could have imagined myself being, but it's all good. It's a lot of work to be done.
Now that's awesome, I'm honored and so appreciative that you took time out of your busy schedule, because I know how freaking busy it is trying to get you here. Take some time for little old us and thank you. Like, genuinely thank you.
I know, for sure, man. Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you. So I want to give kind of start off, you know, you served in the assembly, and I think you were you in the Senate as well? You ran for Senate.
Yep.
And then you ran for lieutenant governor. I really want to give our listeners like a behind the scenes of like, what is it like being the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin?
Senates don't want me.
We'll talk about that, which that's crap, by the way. But
yeah, man, I can tell you. So the experience of lieutenant governor, like, most amazing experience of my life for so many reasons, right? Getting to travel and experience all that Wisconsin has to offer, getting to meet so many just incredible people, and being able to learn, honestly, that's probably my biggest takeaway. It was a huge learning experience. And the fact that there were so many people willing to teach, so many people willing to share, whether it's my visits to different reservations, whether it's my visits to family farms, visits to small businesses, all these things like provided something new to me that I had never had a chance to be a part of before. You know, one of the things that stuck out of my first time going to a slaughterhouse, which was wild.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
You saw everything?
Oh, I saw it, man. I saw it.
Does it make you appreciate a salad a little bit more?
Well, it happened so quick. And the guy wasn't like, hey, it's getting ready to happen. It just happened, right? Like,
oh, my God.
You know, it's just the pride, like you get tased and cow falls to the ground. off with his head, right? Like, it's
oh my God, and that's then, crazy.
It was wild, right? But it's a thing that I'll never forget, and it just speaks to so many complexities, right? Like folks to step up and do to provide for families across the state and across the country. It also speaks to some of our supply chain issues and having adequate staff. And if we want to keep things, you know, local, we need to make sure we're investing in a small family farm. But yeah, being lieutenant governor, though, I will say it just depends on your relationship with the governor. And I know people in other states who don't necessarily have a great relationship with their governor. And it has made that experience a little more difficult, a little bit challenging. Even here in Wisconsin, we've had situations where the lieutenant governor and the governor didn't have a rosy relationship. There were, you know, stories would come out all the time about how the administration before ours was sort of keep the lieutenant governor at bay sometimes. And
there's a bookcase in front of that stairwell.
Like, so two administrations. Yeah. This is not any partisan thing, because the administration before that one, there was that issue. There was no bookcase separating my office and the governor.
No.
The record.
Yeah. Now, so how was that? Was it... talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing but respect for Tony, love and admiration. Fortunately, you know, had known him prior to him running for governor. When he was superintendent, I was on the education committee, so we had some familiarity.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was just a respect for each other. And I think that when we both ended up on the ticket together, you know, the first thing we did was acknowledge how different we were as individuals.
That was a cool campaign. That was really cool.
Man, it was like, if it was cool to witness, I can't even explain how cool it was to be a part of.
Really?
And like leaning into those differences, right? Like that was the cool part for me. Like I you know, I wasn't expecting him to be like me or to change. And you know, the opposite is also true. And we legit, you know, enjoyed each other's company. And, you know, I still hit him up every now and then. He still takes my calls. I don't abuse that, right? Like, if it's something I give him a call, and, you know, it just works out that way. So, yeah, having that good relationship made my experience as Lieutenant Governor so memorable.
Yeah, it does. And for the listeners, you know, I hope you remember, you know, some of the, I mean, just the relationship that you guys had on the campaign trail and joking around. And it just, it seemed like you genuinely enjoyed each other's company and had a lot of respect for each other's ideas and could make each other better.
You can't script that. You can't fake that. It'll show up.
So what, and I, this is out of genuine curiosity. They have a governor's mansion. Is there like a lieutenant governor's apartment or only, something, or like, you know?
Pennsylvania, I believe, is the only state with a lieutenant governor's residence.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah. I think Pennsylvania might be the only state.
What the hell? We got to work on that.
Got to work on that.
Yeah. We got to work. And so like, were you in like the cabinet meetings? I know you toured all the state.
Yeah. Was
impact on policy.
Was in the cabinet meetings. And the other part too is, you know, when we were going through the transition, once, you know, we won office, and prior to us being sworn in, you know, he asked, what was I interested in? What did I want to do? What issues did I want to take on? I told him sustainability.
Oh, no, that's cool.
Climate change, right? And that doesn't always happen. A lot of times,
that's cool.
The issues, they're just delegated. They'll say, hey, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. And that's just what it is. And I told him what I wanted to do. And so, got to be a part of those cabinet meetings. Also got to, you know, lead our climate change task force. And I got to also work with all of our state agencies, well, for the most part, a lot of our state agencies on the topic of sustainability, right? It was more than just the task force. It was working with state agencies. It was being a part of some of the things they had going on. I would invite them out to some of our events. They would invite me out to some of their events. And it was just going across the state. Just talking about, you know, opportunity, how folks in the state of Wisconsin can thrive, and how the state government may had not played a real role in folks' progress before, but this was our opportunity to do so.
Yeah, we're talking with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. How was the transition? You know, that was you smile. How was it?
Calling for good reasons, right? Like, it was of course hectic, right? There were so many people involved. There are people who've been waiting 8 years to get their issues heard.
Yeah.
During the transition period, we had our transition office, and it was just a constant flow of people in and out, talking about whatever issue and how the state needed to prioritize that issue. And, you know, this, for the most part, they were all righteous issues. And I'll say as well, you know, like, there were also a bunch of people who were like, hey, you know, need a job. And we had to hire anyway, right? We had to hire people. But then, you know, sometimes you get folks who are just like, hey, can you give my husband a job? It's just like, come on now. That's not how this works. Like, you didn't even say, hey, my husband's interested in highways. I think he created the Department of Transportation. It's just like, hey, my husband needs a job. not how things are. I had a legislator that the first thing, before she even congratulated me, she said, hey, can you give my husband a job?
Shut up, really?
That's not how that works.
Oh, my God.
I didn't really hear from her much afterwards.
It's weird.
Didn't have a magic wand employ your partner.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's unfortunate. You know, and I think, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of like when you got into office, and, you know, it's almost like George W. Bush and 9/11, how that event changed everything. So you get in what, 2019, elected as the first Black lieutenant governor in state history. And you're like, oh my God, all right, now we can get into, oh crap, here's a pandemic. You know? And it changes the world.
Changes everything, man. Truly feel like, you know, got robbed of a year.
Yes.
Of
right.
Stuff, right? Like, I wasn't traveling the state at that point. Wasn't getting around to as many places as I otherwise would have gotten to. Wasn't being able to participate in the events, speaking at the graduations, doing the school.
Yeah.
Doing the tours to different communities, right? Like, all that sort of stopped. I mean, everything went virtual. And I do feel like my time in office was truncated because of the pandemic.
I bet, yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, leaders are, you know, determined, in my opinion, on what sort of tests they face. And that was like an ultimate test of leadership. Yeah. And granted, you know, the things and the fact that we were able to recover so quickly from the pandemic, that falls on the governor, his leadership, and being able to navigate impossible times. But yeah, you know, I mean, I saw, I was out there a whole lot, you know, doing the things that would keep people in the state of Wisconsin safe, and also being a part of, you know, those strategy meetings. And that's why I say it was a learning experience, if nothing else. I got to learn how everything functions. And I do believe the governor saw me as a part of the governing team. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been in those meetings. Otherwise, I wouldn't have participated at the level I did, or even be able to build the relationships with cabinet secretaries that I had.
Yeah. I would, you know, can you imagine if we had someone else in there, you know, your opponents from that election? Oh my God.
Elections have consequences.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's real life that happens when people are in office, and there are decisions that get made that, you know, you can go in the direction of prioritizing people's safety, or, you know, you can just disregard people's livelihoods, which could have been the case.
Yeah, that's wild. And, you know, it's, I think, yeah, like you say, it really is a testament to the leadership that we had during that time, that we were able to kind of get through that. As I mean, it sucked anywhere. Three ways to Sunday, but like,
it was not fun.
Oh my God. I can't, and I want to ask you about this on the other side, because, you know, there's so much to this, and I want to get back to this on the other side of the break here. We're talking with Manella Barnes here, former lieutenant governor. I'm Mark Becker. We'll see you in a little bit.